If you only had 24 hours to live and you had to teach your son or sons everything you learned about being a man, from life to love, money to marriage, people to porn, and everything in between, what lessons would you teach him? Well, when my son was only 12 years old, I wrote a book for him I wanted to leave behind as my legacy. It's called Are You the Man? 201 Lessons I Wish My Dad Would Have Taught Me. And I squeezed all of those lessons on manhood into just 124 pages. The lessons I share in this book not only come from my successes in life, but many of them also come from my painful and even shameful failures, including divorce, abuse, addiction, adultery, and abandonment, just to name a few. You can read and learn in less than 2 hours what it took me over 30 plus years to learn the hard way. So just go over to areyoutheman.com and get your copy today. That's areyoutheman.com. Trust me, your wife and children will thank you for it later.
Welcome to Real Men Connect. Are you ready to be the extraordinary man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be? Then get ready to receive wisdom and guidance from some of the country's most respected men of faith as you learn everything you need to know to go from good man to great man, God's way. No judgment, no shame. Just real men with real challenges seeking real change. All for God's glory.
Hello, mighty men of God, and welcome to the Real Men Connect podcast, where we help good men become great men God's way. I'm your host, Dr. Joe Martin, and every week we interview some of the nation's most respected and accomplished men of faith to find out what it really takes to become the kind of husband, father, and spiritual leader God has called and created us to be. And each interview session is packed with practical, proven biblical principles you can immediately apply, not only in your relationships, but also on your job and in your community. Guys, today we have with us a special guest on the show. His name is Will Carroll. And Will Carroll is happily married to his wife, Judy, and he is the father of three children, Nathan, Abigail, and Matt. And Will is a CPA. He works at an accounting firm in Ridgeland, Mississippi, and he enjoys the outdoors, and he and Judy are in the process of being licensed as foster parents. God bless him. Guys, I'm excited about having Will as a guest on the show today. I said he's special because he's not the typical guest that we have. Now, of course, Will is a man, but Will is one of our leaders in the Real Men 300 who's been with us almost from the beginning. Will, I know it's been a while, man. But it's been since the beginning, and he's come to become a close friend of mine and one of my most trusted advisors in ministry. And he's agreed to be part of something we call Real Men Stories, the Real Men Stories series. And the Real Men Stories is not the typical podcast interview that we do. On the podcast, you know, we usually talk a lot about brotherhood and community and how a man is only as strong as the number of stronger men he has in on his team. And you've also heard me mention something about our brotherhood called the Real Men 300. Real Men 300 is our private brotherhood community where we help men win at what matters most to them as husbands, as fathers, as spiritual leaders. And we do this by connecting them with other like-minded men while providing them with mentoring, coaching, counseling, and accountability, all with a Christ-centered focus. But I decided, why tell you about the men in our community and what we do when I can bring some of those brothers on the podcast to tell you for themselves? And Will is one of those guys. Now, the guests that I'm bringing on for the Real Men 300 or Real Men Stories, these are not best-selling authors, award-winning speakers, or megachurch pastors. These are just ordinary men just like you who serve an extraordinary God. And they've all agreed to share their story, their struggles, and their personal journey with you. And I can't wait. So, Warrior Nation, join me in welcoming my brother in Christ, my friend and fellow warrior in the fight for men's souls, Will Carroll. Thanks for joining us, Will.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Well, did you ever think, man, when you first joined the Real Men 300 that, yeah, I'm going to be on that podcast with Joe and be opening up my heart and spilling my guts to hundreds of thousands of people all over the world?
Did you ever think that? I did not think that at all.
You know, I didn't think so. But, man, I tell you, God has a plan for everything. And I don't think, Will, this is by accident because God intended it to be this way. And, Will, you've been a long time, not only a member of our ministry, a long time listener to the podcast. You know how we roll, man. What's your favorite Bible verse that gives you inspiration from the Word of God and why?
Well, it's a passage. It's Hebrews 12, 1 to 3, where the writer says, since then we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who endured shame from sinful men. You know, consider him so that you don't grow weary. I didn't say that perfect, but you get the gist. But it's about looking at the men of faith behind from Hebrews chapter 11 and what they sacrificed. And then it really gives the blueprint for a man focusing on Jesus, throwing off the crap that's hindering, you know, and looking toward Christ, you know.
Now, well, you know, that's an interesting verse that you choose because, you know, we ask guys that all the time when they come on the show. Why is your heart drawn to that particular verse?
I just think
everybody mentioned that verse before.
I think it characterizes what my life should look like. We're going to deal with a lot of hard stuff, but focus on Jesus. And then all the stuff that are distracting us from the goal, throw them off. Sin, hindrances, fixing our eyes on Jesus, you know.
So. You know, now, Will, I told the audience that you've been with us on quite a while now, you know, but I want you to go back to the story. How'd you even find us and find our ministry at all? How'd you find me? What made you reach out to us?
I came across the podcast, and I can't tell you how I came across the podcast. I just started listening to the podcast, and then I started talking to my current wife, and I talked to her for about a week, and I could tell she was really I could see a spiritual maturity in her, and I was like, okay, I got to do something. And I'm really cheap. So I was like, well, it's Real Men Connect, you know, it's not free. But I was like, okay, I'm going to try it. I'll give it a try, you know, cause I knew something needed to change in me. Cause I could tell how I've been acting. I've seen healing in my life, but I could tell there's still some issues that I was having.
So Judy, you saw Judy's spiritual maturity and said, man, wow, I got to be prepared to be able to be with a woman like this. Did she ever question your spiritual maturity or did she see something missing in your life or anything?
It was more talking to her and her talking about the women she had in her life that were feeding into her.
I got you.
I was like, I don't have that, you know?
Yeah.
So it was with her, it was just older women who were just feeding into her and how she was growing. And then I would just hear these insights and she had a really rough background. I would hear her insights. And I'd go, that just doesn't jive. That's very mature, you know?
Right.
Like, I don't have that, you know, I don't have men in my life. I don't have that accountability and that growing that I need.
You know, you remind me of, you know, you met Judy similar to the way I met Tanya. And it's funny because Tanya said something similar to me when she met me. She heard me because I didn't have Real Men Connect. You know, I wasn't doing men ministry, but Tanya would always hear me say, yeah, I got to go. I said, Tanya, she'll ask me, you know, we would deal with something difficult. And I said, yeah, I got to go talk to my spiritual board of directors, right? About that. She said, what? I said, my spiritual board of directors. He said, what's your spiritual board of directors? All they are, Will, my mentors and my advisors. And some are women, you know, and they're men, but they're all older than I am and more spiritually more mature. And so who has a spiritual board of directors? And don't you know, as we continue today, she says, I want a spiritual board of directors. How can I get some of that? Because I knew that based on my path, that the reason I got off course, because I didn't have the kind of support that Judy had. And so to me, that was very discerning of you to notice that in her life and say, you know what? I need some of that. Cause that's what Tanya told me. I need that. I need some of that. So tell us, Will, a little about your story, man. What was your old life like before? I'm talking about before Judy, before you connected with us, before you joined the Real Men 300. Tell us what growing up as little Will was like.
I mean, I grew up in a typical Southern Christian family, you know, as they go into church and very spiritual, theologically sound. My mom was, I would say, the spiritual leader. She was the unconditional love person. And my dad was very conditional. I never really saw any change in him. And yet he's been a leader in the church for 40 some years. So everything was good until I hit that puberty age when you start seeing the hypocrisy and I was just like, no, if this is what Christianity looks like, I don't want any part of it. And I wasn't able to discern, okay, this isn't Christ. Christ isn't the problem. It's people. And so I just rejected it. And from that, I was seeking that validation, affirmation from others, and typically from women. And sex equals love equals affirmation, pursuing that, you know, and it was hollow because it always leaves you empty. And even when I became a Christian in my mid-20s, that codependent stuff, the wounds, you know, becoming a Christian does not heal wounds. You know, it's only as they're revealed to you and you take them to the Father. And so even as a Christian I've probably been a Christian half my life now, really before Real Men Connect, I was still functioning so much out of my wounds, you know, with the wrong view of God and seeking somebody else to fill me and not God.
You know, well, you know, you mentioned something about your parents, but because you're your mom, unconditional love, obviously she's showing love of Christ. But you came from a Southern Christian family. First of all, we mentioned that you live and you work in Mississippi. Are you from there originally?
Yeah.
Okay.
Grew up in a small town just north of here.
Now, I'm just curious, and because you're a parent, I'm a parent, and we want our kids to follow Christ. You had a mom showing you unconditional love. You had a dad who's now put conditions on your love, and he's showing even somewhat hypocrisy. And yet, you know, and it turns you off a little bit. Why do you think that you chose to be turned away as opposed to say, well, mom shows me the love of Christ, and she is reflecting? Why weren't you drawn to that as opposed to say, I'm going to rebel against God because of what I saw in my dad?
Well, I think part of it is just you equate God is a picture of your father, your human father.
Yeah, yeah.
And also my mom would defend him.
Okay.
You know, she wouldn't acknowledge the wounds. She would say, well, he loves you, he supports, you know, and it's just that mentality. He financially supports. And, you know,
now, well, this may not be a fair question, but given now in hindsight, if you were your mom and you were put in that same situation that she was in, how do you think she should have responded to you, who's a seeker, not knowing, and doesn't want Christ being misrepresented, but yet you have a father who's doing this? If you were your mom, what would you have done differently, or what would you suggest?
Well, I think you can acknowledge the wrong without saying, turning you against him, you know, saying, I see what you're relaying to me, but maybe you need to try to understand where your father's coming from or why he is the way he is, versus you just, let's pretend that didn't really happen and let's not acknowledge your hurt.
Yeah. You know what I'm hearing? And you correct me if I'm wrong, Will, because I don't put any words in your mouth. What you're telling me is that I'm hearing that your mom should got you to express empathy as opposed to enabling what he was doing by trying to explain it away. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Yeah. Because, I could see how that would. Yeah, that could turn you off. Now, when did you realize, because you said when you hit puberty, that's when you started to rebel. God bless those who got to deal with teenagers, man. But when did you realize something had to change in your life? What was that turning point or that crossroad moment or road to Damascus moment for you, if there was any road like that?
I kept pursuing women and that fulfillment. And I remember after having a really big fight with my girlfriend at the time, you know, it was right before Christmas, and I prayed, and I believe that's when I became, and I was saved. But looking back, I will tell you, it wasn't a real repentant prayer. And I think that was a big problem. I just kind of said, God, I've tried it my way for a long time. Now I want to try it yours. You know, and then you go in and you're like, well, now God should do what I expect God to do for me, rather than the prodigal son, I've sinned, I don't deserve it. And then there wasn't that. And I think that's part of what my issue was, because I didn't see the depth of my sin and the depth of how I was viewing God wrong and my woundedness.
You know, now looking back now, you said looking back, you can see those trace those steps. But digging inside now and having a little bit more clarity, what do you think was stopping you from being the man God had called you to be, that you were probably really afraid of and didn't want to deal with or had to overcome? What do you see now as this was the issue that I was not willing to address, but I needed to?
The wrong view I had of God, but I don't think I grasped the depth of my woundedness, because I went to counseling and I had a guy say, you know, your anger, 90% of it is at your father and 10% is at your wife. And so there was a lot of wounds that they weren't healed, and there was a lot of anger, but it was rooted in, I still had a wrong view of God. You know, I still looked at God as I had to please him. And if I didn't, he was disappointed, and I couldn't please him, so he was perpetually disappointed.
And do you think that came as a result of your relationship with your father? That's where it was? Yeah. And you mentioned, because we mentioned Judy, but Judy's not your first wife.
No.
And so Judy is what wife? What number? 15, right?
I don't want to talk about
I lost count. What
number? Number three.
This is number three. No, but Seriously though. But you, through those other two marriages, you, like you said, you were looking, you had a wrong view of God, but you were looking for, you think you were looking for approval, looking for validation, looking for affirmation.
For validation, yes.
What happened when you didn't? And what happened when you didn't get it?
You know, it's just implosion. And in my first marriage, which was almost 16 years, it was two people who were seeking something from each other that we couldn't give each other. And so there was a lot of anger on both sides and dissatisfaction, because you're not feeling me and I'm not feeling you, and no grace. So, yeah.
You know, we're making light of it, because I know how far you've come, and I know how much you've grown. Because, you know, me and you, that's another reason why we connected and we relate to each other, because I went through a 16-year marriage that I had my issues as well. Now, with your dad being, you know, because we're not trying to throw your dad under the bus, but we know that he was a catalyst, because we know that comes from his own woundedness. That's what your mom failed to show you, that he's that way, because it doesn't, you know, it may explain him, but it doesn't excuse his behavior towards you and the kid. You got other siblings, right?
Yeah, I've got two sisters and a brother.
Now, was your dad the same way with them, or he just was picking on you?
Well, I was the youngest. And so when everybody was out of the house, I was in high school and I was a pissed off teenager. And so we would butt heads because I would call him on his hypocrisy. And it's, you know, and I can remember him calling me stupid. I mean, he would get mad and just storm away, yell at me, that kind of stuff. You know, and I can look and say, he's acting like an idiot, but I'm also internalizing there's something wrong with
me. Yeah, maybe I am stupid. Maybe I am not whatever. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not good enough. Yeah.
Now, you know, we're talking about your dad, but what's your relationship with your dad now?
It's kind of just cordial. I mean, if I see him, we'll hug and talk, but he never calls. He never checks on me. If I call him, he'll tell me what's going on in his world, but doesn't really ask. So it hadn't really changed. I tried to address stuff with him years ago, and just even saying, I know this was right when I became a Christian, so I was in my mid-20s, you know, just something like, and I might have said a little worse than this, but it's like, we hadn't always got along, blah, 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 and I can't remember what I said. All I remember was him getting up, walking out of my apartment, slamming the door, driving home. He lived an hour away, and then telling my siblings that I had attacked him verbally. So that was the response. And then I'm in trouble. And it was
Wow. And so now, is he and your mom still together?
No, my mom passed about 25 years ago.
Oh, okay.
So he remarried after that and still married. Yep.
Wow. So how's his marriage now? I hate putting your dad in the spotlight on this. How's he doing now in his current marriage?
I mean, he's kind of one of those that if you're married to him, just let him do what he wants to do and don't, you know, and he wins most of the time and you just learn to deal with it. And I know that's kind of what my mom did. And I think his current wife is now more into doing activities and stuff, which he enjoys. So
now look at now, as far as seeing yourself now as a man and a father now, as far as how do you think, because usually the thing that we don't like about the parent that we had, if we're trying to always avoid that, that's usually ends up being the pattern that we repeat. What did you find yourself repeating, if anything, that you saw your dad that you said, man, that's not what I vowed that I would never do that. Do you see any similarities in what some of the struggles that you end up having, having left this home, going into your marriages that you find yourself repeating? Because I know I did.
But
and my dad wasn't even there, but I started repeating some of the same stuff. But what did you find yourself repeating the cycle in?
Yeah, so my attitude was he would do his own thing on Saturdays with his golf day. And so I'm like, I'm not going to be there. I'm going to spend time with my kids, all this. But then I didn't know how to parent. I didn't know how to discipline. I leaned toward control. And then when I started getting older, because I would say when I turned puberty is pretty much when he checked out emotionally. And when my kids started getting older, I'm like, I can look back and go, I didn't know what I was doing at that point. I don't know how to, didn't know how to parent a teenager. And so, yeah, you start repeating the same thing, control, do as I say, not as I do, that kind of stuff.
All right. You know, now, well, that was then, but this is now. So what role has the Real Men 300 played in your development and your success as a man now?
Man, I think just the first time, well, the first call with you when you just, you were like, you said, I talked about my first marriage and your second marriage and you just like hit the nail on the head. Like, oh, you screwed that one up and your picker was wrong on this one. And I was like, oh, wow. Right on. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Said nothing wrong with my wife. Something wrong with my picker.
Yeah, because, you know, deep down, I want to say it was her fault. And yeah, a lot of it was, but I married her, this is my second wife. So I needed that kind of confrontation of truth. And then when we started getting into it, it was about the quiet time, getting in and journal. And up until that point, I mean, I knew all about quiet times, but it was more about reading and I might do a diary, but it wasn't so much about journaling, about what I'm reading, listening to God. And I noticed when I started getting consistent in that, when I started meeting weekly on the Real Men Restore, because back then there was only the Thursday call, that's when God started showing me lies I had been believing all my life, especially about Him. I mean, that's what had to change. You know, we talk about in Real Men Connect our identity in Christ and our wrong identity. And I read in this book, And he didn't call it a father wound. He called it identity wound.
Yeah, which is what it really is, an identity wound.
Yeah, because I was living out of, this is who God says I am, but I was living as this lie. You know, no, I'm not good enough. God's not happy with me. He's upset with me. I'll never please Him like that. And God's kind of a mean, jerky kind of guy who sets a bar and knows I can't reach it. And then is always mad that I'm not reaching it. And it's like, as my shift in my view started changing, that's when I can really start changing. I can go to God and see, you know, He's Father and He loves me, He's for me, and then start understanding my identity. So that's when the change started. And then when you start talking to other guys who are dealing with the same stuff, and then you start hearing other guys, like, that's where I was 3 months ago,
exactly.
Let me tell you. And it just, you know, like we say, the ways we learn and teaching others is high up on the percentage chart. I know in Lonnie's book, you know, so that's really helped.
You know, I like that the fact that in one of our weekly meetings, you know, we do our real men reality, which talks about your identity, but we also talk about the purpose of that accountability group. And we said, this group is not a recovery group, even though you recover, it's an identity restoration group. And people say, we had one guy on the call. Well, you know, one of the guys, Yushi from Australia. He says, Doctor, I wish I could speak my Australian accent, but he says, Dr. Joe, what's the difference between recovery and restoration? And one of our leaders, Brett, said, and I told him that there's a huge difference. And Brett gave him the analogy. He says, think about a car. What's more valuable, something that you recover or something that's restored? And he says, that's what God wants to do for you. He wants to restore you. And when it's restored, it's even more valuable than it was before. And I think what it is, we struggle with that. And I think because, and I love what you said, the book that you, was that from The Cure?
No, that was from a book called Soul Care.
Soul Care. Okay. Cause yeah, I've read The Cure. And I said, I don't remember seeing that in The Cure, but you know, it's from Soul Care. But cause I love that phrase there. Yeah. We think it's the father wound when really it was an identity wound caused by the father, by our dads. And it just changes your perspective when you look at it that way. And I got to go back. I can't get skirt past this. Will, you mentioned about your picker being broken, you know, choosing a broken pick. And I've had a chance to meet Judy. Dude, you got it right this time. you pick right. You pick well, my son, this time. You That's know, and the thing great. Is, you just can't screw it up. All right, but we'll make sure that doesn't happen.
That's grace.
You know, exactly. That's what I said that when I got married the second time, I said, this isn't God's best for me, which people thought I was insulting my wife. I said, no, this is God's grace towards me, you know, because we didn't know any better. We were trying to love people from our wounds. We were trying to be men based on our woundedness, not based on God's truth, but based on our past trauma. And that's not a setup for any success if you operate out of trauma instead of truth. And I think you meeting Judy and realizing her spiritual maturity, it wasn't her putting a microscope to your life. It was a mirror having you look at yourself and say, wow, what does she have that I don't? What makes her any different? Judy didn't come from a spotless past either. You know, what makes her different from me? And when it comes down to it, it goes back to identity. But this might be a tough question, but what I want to ask you, some of the most valuable lessons you've learned about manhood from being around all these men since joining the Real Men 300? Because one thing, living your life as a man and you know what you're dealing with. But like you said, you were around some guys like, wait a minute, I've been there. I was just being in that same spot. What have you learned about manhood being in the Real Men 300?
Let me go back to that last one, because I don't want anybody to ever think, oh, well, I'm in a bad marriage, so I need to get divorced. Yeah, right. I might get a good one. Because that's what I have guys tell me. And I'm like, no, dude.
That ain't how it works.
I wish my first marriage, I wish I was in the place I am now.
Yes.
In my first marriage.
Say that.
Yeah. You know, and because if you want to say that, oh, I might as well. Well, I went through close to 20 years of awfulness, you know, and no, I'd much rather be in the marriage number one, healthy. And this is just, I rejoice that God has given me a wonderful wife, but, you know, that's just, like you say, that's God's grace. And
no, but Will, before you ask, because I want to, you're right, I want to go back there, because you and I definitely can speak on this. We know, I don't know about the other guys out there listening, but we know about what it is to go through those marriages. And Will, you're right. Before we get to that, I'll get back to that question again. But no, the Holy Spirit saying, no, park it right there, because the men need to hear this. Because, yeah, we deal with a lot of guys who think, OK, look at Will, look at Joe. They survived it. And but what do they both have in common? They're not with their first wives. But what they don't see is the damage that was caused to get to this place. And damage is that we're still paying the price for even today, because we still, those in that past relationship, the wounds you caused to your kids, they're not forgotten. They're not looking at, trust me, our kids are not looking at it. Oh, I'm so glad daddy's happy now because he's a better man. But that doesn't excuse what kind of dad we were before and the mistakes that we made. They don't want to hear that. Oh, you happy now because you were the great wife. We have to go back and now try to salvage and try to restore and redeem and resurrect a relationship that, because we wish we could go back and change a lot of things. Because we want to go back to our kids like, I didn't know. And so it's one of those things that we got to celebrate God's grace, because based on what we've done, we don't deserve what we have now. And I was talking, you know, one of our guys, Stephen, I was telling Stephen when we were on a call, and I was telling Stephen, I said, do you realize that when you're married, it's tough already? And let's say you're in a situation where you're about to get a divorce or separation. I said, it's actually easier, even though it's hard, to reconcile that marriage. It's hard, but it's actually easier in the scheme of things to work on that, to try to reconcile. Here's why. If you don't, first of all, to reconcile is hard, but that's the easiest route. But if you don't reconcile and you get a divorce, it's hard going through the divorce. Then after you get the divorce, it is hard being single. You got a whole nother issues. If you're trying to follow God and be a single man in today's society, that's hard. Then you got to heal from the wounds of your past. That's hard. Then if you are fortunate enough, by grace of God, to find another woman like Judy or me with Tanya, then guess what? You still got to deal with that marriage. And guess what? That's hard. Now, because I want you to go on record, is being married to Judy just a piece of cake? Oh, has marriage been a piece of cake to you now, or is it still work?
No, I would say it's a piece of cake.
Judy, people let Judy hear this.
we're in the fostering process, and the lady asked us, we had like a home study, and she said, talk about Judy. And I said, she's the sweetest person I've ever met in my life.
Right.
I mean, I don't know why. I wouldn't have thought that, because I know her background, and it's traumatic. And to see this grace, but she's one of those people. The difference was she looked in, and I was like, God, why did you let me go through all this crap? She's like, God, thank you for delivering me from all this crap. And it's such a different view. And so she has this joyful spirit, and I'm still like, God, I didn't deserve that. I didn't want to go through that. You know, why? And that's one of the blessings from Real Men Connect. Is I used to say, I believe Romans 8:28, that God can use all things, all my failures, everything for his glory. And I would say I believed it, but when you start in this ministry and you start talking to guys and they're like, tell you their story. And I'm like, yeah, I can totally relate to that. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, let me tell you, you know, don't make these mistakes, mm-hmm. you know, so that's grace. But I tell you, I had one of my guys, he shared his testimony at the end. He's like, and I don't have any regrets, you know, because God can, Romans 8:28. And I'm like, I'm not like that. I mean, I believe Romans 8, but like what you said, I mean, our actions have consequences for others, for not just people. Ourselves. And yeah. Especially the kids. And yeah. So,
and so no matter how you look at it, it's going to be hard either way, you know, and I, you know, well, you like me, I call guys out when they say, if I can go all back and do it all again, I wouldn't change a thing. You crazy. I would go back and change a lot of stuff. They said, but God worked out for good. Yes, God worked it out for good. But you mean to tell me David would go and still go back and sleep with Bathsheba if he had a choice? You'd mean to tell me that Paul will still persecute Christians? Come on now.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I'm like, I wouldn't have sat in that prison cell with the door wide open for 20 some years.
I would have left. Exactly.
Right. It was wide open and I'm staying in there.
I tell you, man, but I love it. But you see the power community. So why would you recommend a man join some type of brotherhood or men's group or a private community like the Real Men 300? Because there's other groups out there they can get connected to. I just want to see men connected. But why would you recommend that they do that?
I just think it's you find guys who are going through the same stuff you're going through. And I think that's a fear I had as a Christian. Nobody knows what I'm going through and everybody seems fine. And I just have to fake it but really I'm just waiting to implode. And there's so many guys I've talked to and they're like, wow, you feel like that too? You felt like that? You did this, you know? And so it's not just the accountability aspect, but it's actually going, I'm not alone. I'm struggling with this. Oh, here's some five guys struggling with this and they'll walk beside me, you know, and they'll pray for me. And just, I guess, you know, with the struggle with my father, it was kind of a man wound. And I've heard you talk about it too. Like I just really haven't felt, I've always felt much more at ease with women than men.
Cause me too.
It was that I didn't feel like I was a man because that's how my dad put me down. And then, you know, getting in Real Men Connect and you start talking to guys and then you're growing with guys and you're like, love you, brother. Love you. You know, it's still a little struggle for me, but it's like, I've got these guys and I'm like, man, I got some great friends, you know, guys who got my back. I mean, Gary's like, oh, I got your back, brother. You know, that, you know, just guys like that. And so it's such a blessing to realize I don't have to do this thing alone. Even if I screw up, guys are there to call me out, but they're there to encourage me, pray for me. So, yeah, I mean, guys need it. I mean, we're going to fall if we don't have guys supporting us.
Yeah, you know, and it's so funny to me because a lot of us come into this in brotherhood and community like this, especially in the Real Men 300. Everybody keeps thinking that, wow, they're the only ones. I had a guest on my show. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to Ron Archer's show way back. He says that men suffer from something called terminal uniqueness, terminal uniqueness, thinking we're unicorns, that nobody can relate to what we're going through. And it's weird because when you get into a community around that, it's actually weird. It's sort of like, even though it's pain and you hear it's painful and the wounds are trauma, you actually kind of rejoice that it's not only you, you know, in a sick kind of way. But you're like, I'm not the only one that's dealing with this. But because it encourages you and it gives you hope that, wow, we're better together and you don't have to do this by yourself. Nobody can carry your load for you, but they can help you carry it. And when you get into community, because you would have never told me, I was the same way like you, Will. Man, I feel comfortable around women. I worked in education. I'm always around women. I'm training women all the time. And now it's like, I'd rather be around men than be around women because I can relate to the men better now, which helps me now with women to communicate with them. But man, there's nothing around being around a group of guys who you can be real with and not try to have to posture and say, because we're all in the same boat. We're all struggling together, but we're winning in the struggle, which is a cool thing. So, Will, tell me this. What would you say to the man listening today who can relate to your story, my story about, man, failed at marriage, you know, not just once, but twice. And, you know, and man, I struggle with who I am in Christ. I've been wounded. You know, you mentioned about the wound that the father caused, the identity wound. I said it creates a manhole. No different than you see in the street, a manhole, right? Because it's a hole in your identity as a man. Yeah. So if what would you say to that man listening who can relate to your story and finds himself in a similar situation like you were, but he think it's hopeless? What would you tell him?
Well, it's not hopeless. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen it. I mean, there's times in my life I thought this was hopeless, and I wanted God to fix the situation. And I was the one who needed to be dealt with. My wounds needed to be healed. I wanted him to make my situation, my circumstances happy. But it's not hopeless because we have a father who is in the business of restoring, like you say, and healing, and he wants that intimate relationship with us. And that's the hard thing for a guy to hear who's has that wound is that, no, that's not really God's view of me. But it's like, yes, that is not hopeless because God is in the business of healing. You know, and I've seen it's been less than 3 years since I've been a Real Men Connect, and I have grown so much. But if you ask me the last 2 weeks, it's like God keeps putting stuff on me and convicting me. And I'm like, man, I don't really feel like I've grown. But it's like, but I know it's because he's getting me ready in for the next thing. Process
yeah.
because it's like my selfishness has to die. My pride has to die, but that's the grace of God. When my view of him has changed, that he's for me, then I can take that conviction and I love it. And, you know, I can have guys praying for me. This is my struggle. This is, you know, last week, you know, this is the mask God's revealing to me that I still wear that, try to be funny and get validation from my cleverness, you know, but it's just, no, I need to get that from God. So, it's never too late. I mean, I was a train wreck and God's been healing and God's just brought men around me and I've grown so much. And so,
you know, and Will, I'm glad you pointed that out because you remember a great point and I've been there too and still go through it. When, man, you're growing in Christ, you're maturing in Christ, and then the next thing happens, like, wow, I feel like, did I even grow at all? Am I even maturing? But not realizing you got the perspective God had to show you. No, I discipline, though, my children who I love. And pruning, when, you know, pruning, chip, that doesn't feel good. Chiseling doesn't. You ever chisel, you ever try to chisel your hand? That doesn't feel good. You ever try to put your hand through a fire? That doesn't feel good. But God is saying all the chiseling, all the fire, you know, all the pruning, all that is to help you and prepare you. And you guys are right. You and Judy are preparing for children. Dude, you're talking about they're in foster care for a reason. And these kids got a set of issues that you and Judy didn't cause. And they're going to have issues no matter how well adjusted those kids are. And I've worked a lot with the foster care programs, and I know because I talked to those kids that their identity has been wounded because they're thinking, how great could God be if my parents gave me up and they don't want me or they don't love me or they did this to me and they did that to me? Some coming from other homes that of Christian homes who were hypocrites in hypocrisy. So, Will, that's not for the faint of the heart. I truly believe you and Judy are equipped to do that. But God is going to have to work on both your hearts to prepare you. And Judy knows that, too. And I think you're going to be the stubborn one.
Judy is much more prepared for
it. I know Judy's prepared for that, but she's like, Will?
I started listening to a podcast on fostering, and it was perspective of parent foster parents. And the first two were like, I went in like, I'm going to save this child.
Yeah, you're going to save the child.
They talked about the arrogance they had. Yeah. I'm like, okay, yeah. Because, you know, good intentions, if they're not grounded in this is about God and him being glorified, then, yeah, I'm going to.
But you guys are going to be great foster parents. As long as you're open to God growing you, maturing you, pruning you, chastening you if he has to. And being open to that, you're going to be fine. And you're right. It's not about us saving this child. It's about us showing this child the love of God. Because God saves. We don't. We're here to serve God in any capacity. And God has put on you and Judy's heart that this is how I want you to serve my kingdom. That there's some children out there who don't have parents and they need to know my love. And they're going to, I want you guys to show them through you. My love. And man, what is there any other higher calling than that?
And they need to hear that I know what hurting is about. I know what being broken.
Absolutely.
I'm not up here. I've been there. I'm still, you know.
That is awesome. You know, well, I tell you, you know, we've reached the end of our show. But before we leave, I want you to let the listeners know if they wanted to reach out to you. I love doing the Real Men Real Stories because this is not somebody who has written this book, done all these great things. This is somebody who's living life that we can all relate to. So if our listeners wanted to reach out to you and connect with you, what would be the best way for them to do that?
Probably just through my email. It's wcarroll, Carroll, 77 at yahoo.com.
All right. And what we'll do, Will, we'll put that in the show notes for them. So you guys can reach out to Will. That's wcarroll, Carroll, 77 mankonnect@yahoo.com. So if you want to continue that discussion with him or ask him some questions about what he's been through, please do that. And guys, please do us a favor. And this is so important. Take about 30 seconds to go over to Apple Podcasts and rate the program. Let us know what you thought of this episode, because it's the best way to help us get this program in the hands, ears, and hearts of men just like you. And guys, please don't keep us a secret. Share us with your friends. You guys have made us the number one podcast on Apple Podcasts for Christian men because you believe that caring is sharing. So don't stop it. Keep going. Until next time, I'm Joe Martin, your man builder with realmenconnect.com, reminding you that we are males by birth, but we are men by choice. So each and every day, choose to be the man that God has called and created you to be, because a male is a terrible, terrible thing to waste. So until next time, stay strong, stay blessed, stay connected, because real men do connect. But most importantly, stay in God's grip, and I'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Real Men Connect podcast with Dr. Joe Martin. Real Men Connect isn't just a podcast. It's a mission, ministry, and movement to help good men become the great men God called and created us to be. And the best is yet to come. So if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us to build the podcast and to reach, teach, and impact more men, all for the glory of God. And make sure you check out realmenconnect.com to get our free tools and resources to help you go from good man to great man God's way. Again, that's realmenconnect.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.